Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We are going to review Morbius for you today. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Strange with then for this brand new Sony, sort of in association with Marvel.
Yeah, that sort of enemy deal. Yeah.
Directed by Daniel Espinosa. Written by Matt Sazemar and Burke Sharpless. Of course, based on Marvel Comics. And it stars Jared Leto as the titular character, Matt Smith, Adria Ajoyner, Jared Harris, Al Madrigal, and Tyrese Gibson. Budget $75 million. It's 104 minutes long and is out now around the world. Wayne, what is Morbius about?
Okay, everyone. Michael Morbius has grown up dangerously ill with a rare blood disorder, so he dedicated his life to medicine and finding a cure for him and his friend who has the same condition. So now he's all grown up, and he's like a famous-ass doctor and shit, and he attempts a desperate gamble by splicing bat DNA with human DNA and tests it on himself. Appears to be a good idea, but then it turns the cunt into a vampire.
What? Could possibly go wrong.
Exactly. Unfortunately, he's now a damn vampire, and he's like, well, that's shit, and that's what this movie's about.
Pretty much. That's the way it rolls. All right, then. The critical consensus. It may shock you to hear, Wayne. It's not good. I want to thank, first of all, Kathy from Sony Pictures for getting us into this one early.
We're
very, very...
Absolutely.
Privileged to see it early. The other critics who did likewise said it has, on Rotten Tomatoes, an approval rating of 16%.
Oh, shit.
Based on 174 reviews with an average rating of 3.8 out of 10. Metacritic, 3.7. Sorry, 37 out of 100 based on 48 critics. Must be a little early, though, because nothing for cinema score yet, according to audiences. Though I would not hesitate to suggest, audience score will be a little higher.
It usually is.
Than 30% and 37 and whatever else.
Mm.
All right, Wayne, without any further ado,
okay.
What did you think of Morbius?
Okay, I wrote a joke here, but I can't quite make it work. It goes like this, basically. Morbius, you mean more fool us, but I couldn't... See, what?
Finally, I had that...
Yeah, here's the thing, okay. The reason it didn't work is because the joke should be Morbius, more like more fool us, but there's too many mores. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, needless to say, it's a piece of shit. Now, here's the thing about the show, people. Overall... This show seems like the same quality as those superhero movies that you got before superhero movies were a thing.
Right.
Like
so pre-Iron Man.
Yeah, pre-Iron Man. So in the it's sort of like...
Or Batman Begins, maybe.
Yeah, like sort of Ghost Rider, that level, you know, Spawn, maybe not quite so bad as Spawn, but like up there, that kind of shit. This, we have seen so much better things from superhero movies now that a movie like this cannot exist and do just what this does. The lead has one note to play, right? The fucking the villain has another fucking note to play. That's it. There could have been so much more between these two when they were, fighting because they have a history and that kind of thing. But, like, it's not. It's just played straight. You're the good guy. You're the bad guy. Here's some shit. Here's some CGI fucking acting, fighting, which is shit, and I can't tell what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
So I cannot even speak as to how good the fighting is because all it is close-up fucking what, flash, flat, shit.
The film makes this choice, this very weird thing, which is, okay, he's got echolocation.
Yeah,
right?
Sonar,
and
yep.
Sonar, basically. And so he can hear where things are and therefore kind of it represents them kind of visually with this streaky kind of coloring,
yep.
Blurringness. That makes fine sense, all right? We're trying to display through film. But then for some reason when he moves, he blurs.
Okay, so what's happening here?
And when they fight, everything blurs. Yep. And therefore when they eventually do fight in a meaningful fashion... You can't tell shit from Shinola.
That's right. And you know what? I think what they're doing here is saying to you, they're trying to make a deal with the audience, which is, okay, this is how Morbius sees things and things are distorted because he's got a sonar. Now we take a shot outside of his head and you still see those blurs. So it's like, okay, so are we seeing it through his eyes all the time? And they're like, we're not quite sure. We're not quite sure, but can you please just deal with it?
We're not quite sure could be what they said behind the scenes of virtually every decision that was made about this movie. Do you think we should make it so that's all the time? Or should... we're not sure. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. How does it look? It's like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense, man. Like, if it's...
There's a lot about this movie that makes no fucking sense. We'll get there in the spoiler section.
Yes.
We're obviously tripping around who the bad guy is. But I want to say, if you have... seen a movie in your life
you
before
know.
This one, you will know exactly how this film is going to fucking play out from the get-go.
I swear to God, even if you aren't a moviegoer, the first...
A film, Wayne. You only have to see one film before and you'll know how this is going to work.
I swear to God, yeah, in the first scene, you're like, As soon as I figure out which one of these is Morbius, I know. Yeah. You know, it's like I know who's the baddest. It's so shit. So yes, it's that kind of thing.
Jared Harris is completely fucking wasted. Completely as the mentor. Wasted. Like, he's barely in it. And then when he's like, but why is he still in it?
I don't get this. When I saw him, I was like, Jared Harris.
Yep.
Like, I was like, oh well, then maybe it'll be some wicked like. Nah. Nope. He's got like four scenes.
The love interest / female scientist is exposition central. She's got nothing to do. She's not doing anything wrong herself.
She's got nothing to work with.
Her
character has zero agency.
Yep.
She's just there.
Yep. She's right? just an interest and I would for argue, Morbius.
So is every other character, mm-hmm. including the villain.
There are two characters who are police officers, though at some point it implies they're federal officers. So I didn't even know the film. What do you think?
Okay, so yes, Tyrese Gibson and Elle Madrigal play mm-hmm. like, you know, two cops.
They're meant to be the comic relief. They're fucking not.
Okay.
They are painful.
I would have probably, for one reason or another, and I can't tell you why necessarily, but I would have been happy if the movie was about Elle Madrigal. For some reason, I quite like his face or something. Like, no, the way he does comedy, he's a little bit like a John Lovitz in how
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
No, the way he talks, the way he moves, the way he gives lines, it's very distinctive, and I actually quite like his work. So I was like, if that's the best thing about the movie, we got problems.
Oh, do we? Do we? You could take them out of the plot.
Oh god, yes.
And nothing Zero. Would change.
They're just there to employ two other actors. That's what that role's about.
It's bizarre.
It comes to nothing. Any of the things they do comes to nothing.
This film opens with a scene which I still don't understand. We'll get to in spoilers. Where it exists in the timeline and what the fuck it was doing. Then we go flashback into their history and whatever. And then we're back in current day and the film goes from there. The further this film goes, for me, the worse it got.
Uh-huh.
Until the final climactic battle is just an absolute shit show of the worst CG-infused kind of nothing really happening action, so to speak, action with the most low stakes outcomes ever. It's fucking terrible. And then in spoilers, we will talk about how much Sony does not understand building a cinematic universe.
Oh, we've got to talk about that because that's a huge part of this. And obviously they were looking for this movie to do something particularly good if they are going to give you that kind of a reveal at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No.
On that note, I'll say it now because I'm worried I'll forget.
Yeah.
Daniel Espinosa, the film's director, was doing the media rounds, okay?
Yeah.
About a month or so ago.
Yeah.
He revealed spoilers for the credit sequences and then was bemused to realize the film actually hadn't come out yet.
What do you mean?
He did not know when his film came out because it's been pushed back like 18 times.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was supposed to be January, then suddenly it was April. First or March 31st.
He dropped a spoiler on his own movie.
He literally gave away spoilers. And like it's all on Twitter. You can see this sort of thread, which has then been picked up by various different movie news outlets. You can see them just going, well, even the director doesn't fucking know what the hell's going on with his movie and is prepared to spoil it. That's how good we think Morbius is going to be.
Oh, shit. That's horrendous, eh? Yeah.
I didn't see this beforehand, so I had no idea. But for anyone who has...
You know who doesn't make these kind of movie mistakes? Tom Cruise's production company. So Top Gun's been like 2 years in the since this, right? And there's not a chance that no one knows exactly when that fucking thing
agree.
Is open.
Paramount I mean, has its shit together.
Totally. This
Christopher McQuarrie has his shit together.
Yeah.
As much as possible anyway.
Did Christopher McQuarrie direct that?
Yeah. And the last two, Rogue Nation and Fallout.
No, I'm talking about Top Gun.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. Yes. Yeah. No, that's the guy who directed Tron Legacy and the one Oblivion.
Okay. I still like those movies.
Something, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Yeah, cool. They're both visually spectacular films. His criticism is whether he can make a film which has script,
heart,
yeah. Weight to its characters. So we'll see.
Okay, looking forward to it. Anyway, back to Morbius. So
that's everything you need to know, really. I've got one other big question for you, Wayne, before we go into the spoiler section. Go on. Having obviously expressed our disdain for this film and how disappointing. I didn't expect it to be good.
No, I didn't expect it to be this bad either.
But it's really poor.
Oh, shit.
It's one of the worst films so far this year. Do you think vampires need to manscape?
Dude, do they ever? I'll tell you something.
Well, Jared Leto does, because look at the length of his hair.
Oh, man.
Morbius. Michael Morbius, he needs to manscape all day, every day.
Yeah,
every second day, at least.
Exactly. And he does, because when he takes his shirt off, Paul, it's like a baby's asshole. Okay? He's very, very smooth. Yep. And that's what he probably uses. The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. Yep.
The performance package.
That's right. The legendary wickedness looking wicked ass black unit shit, which has wireless charging,
mm-hmm.
ceramic blades, Whatever else, Paul.
Use it in the water.
Use it in the underwater. In the shower. Buzz them nuts. No problem whatsoever.
For cleanliness and anti-nick technology, according to the ceramic blade, you said.
That's right.
Gentlemen.
Which I have tested.
You owe it to yourself and your balls, who, after a long hot summer down the southern part of, well, at least where we live.
Yeah.
It's time to let them breathe a little bit. If you're up in the northern hemisphere, it's time to get prepared for the heat that is coming your way, hopefully literally as well as metaphorically.
Oh, yes.
And, well, metaphorically as well as literally. So get yourself the performance package, or you know, or if you just prefer the Lawnmower 4.0, the brand new version from Manscaped. And Wayne, if they do that through the countdown, what are they going to do?
You're going to get 20% off on the sweet, sweet order of whatever you put down there. Just go to the checkout, drop in the code CDPC20 at checkout. Your balance will drop 20% immediately, and that's free shipping. So
free delivery, that's correct.
Free shipping for your ass. So that's all you pay.
More could you ask for from the geniuses at Manscaped?
Damn so right.
There we are. Go. Now, anything else, Wayne, before we do spoilers?
Now, let's spoil up.
Let's spoil the shit out of it, because, here we go.
You can't handle the truth!
I think we've given the truth pretty much straight in the face. Hell this yeah. film fucking sucks. Unfortunately. Now, what was happening at the start of the movie? Let's start with that, Wayne.
All right, so start of the movie, you see Jared Leto in a helicopter with some motherfuckers, mercenaries presumably. He's in fucking Colombia. He goes into some fucking, I don't know, volcano or some shit.
And is it a deep cave?
Deep-ass cave that he had a helicopter into.
It's like South America somewhere, right? Where vampire bats are.
Something like that, yeah. And then anyway, gets in there, has a deal with the mercenaries.
Transylvania.
It's not Transylvania. Then a shit ton of bats come out. Apparently he grabs some of them, whatever.
But what was this thingamajig in front of him? What was that about?
Oh, the cords? Or the,
yeah, like, with the, like the doorway that's set up with these.
I forgot about that, Paul.
Is it meant to? Because I was waiting the whole time for us to come back to that.
You know what? I forgot about it. You're right. That was actually man-made. This wasn't just bats in a cave.
Well, he brought them out. Is that how they caught them? Or did they slice themselves up flying through that? Is that what was going on?
Like, you're right.
Of that scene made any fucking sense at all, other than he needs vampire bat.
That's all I thought. He's just going there to collect bats. I don't know why.
But they're all flying around him. He's not panicked at all. Like,
I don't see a bag.
But you haven't splashed yourself with vampire bat DNA yet. All the mercenary soldiers are so deathly frightened they're going to get eaten alive by these things. And we see some kind of beast which has been torn to pieces by them.
That's right. And none of them bite Jared Leto. They all flock towards whatever, the mercenaries. Or just fly past.
But then it just cuts away from that. So did they attack the mercenaries? Did it destroy the helicopter? Was everything fine?
I think the idea here, Paul, is that on some level, Morbius and his mission has a kinship with bats and they won't hurt him. And these bats that he went to...
The point of after he spliced himself with bat DNA. Okay, fine. Dumb as it is, fine. I can buy that. But not before it's actually happened. No. Unless that scene happened after.
Makes zero sense. So there's a piece of shit. Red flags, everyone. Red flags immediately.
Yeah. I was prepared to be okay with it because I thought we were going to bounce back to that point somewhere through the course of the film, but we never do. So was that cut or anything?
Yes, Paul, it was cut.
Then we go to the flashback 25 years earlier, and we're somewhere in Greece, I think it was. And
that's right.
So Jared Harris has Morbius.
A mentor. Oh, yeah. He's like
He's a doctor looking after them.
Yeah.
In this blood transfusion clinic specialist, whatever it is. And Milo comes in. Now that Milo is his best mate.
Yep.
Or becomes his best mate. Mm-hmm. That's great. He ends up moving away because he's a genius. And then we flash almost straight away. Is it? Or do we get the fight scene where Milo, he gets set upon by
the bullies. Yes, that happens, yes.
And, you know, he just fights them straight away because now we've established Milo's got a temper. No. What's this going to mean later in life? Because Milo, he's a rich motherfucker. Where's the explanation for that?
No. The idea here is that I think, again, I'm doing things for the movie here, but in that facility in Greece where there's two motherfuckers, Morbius for some reason is there and then other rich cunt, and then what is his name? Milo comes, right?
Is Lucius or something, but he just calls him Milo.
Yeah, he calls him Milo for some reason, whatever. You're right. That means Morbius had to be rich too, or he was sponsored by the state, or I don't know what's going on here.
It's never clear. Do we even get a mention of what happens to his parents?
Nope. We just know that that's how this works.
Token 3-4 minute back, not even that, like a 20-second montage. They're best mates now. Oh, I'm leaving. I'm so sad he's leaving. Don't worry, says Jared Harris. You'll be right, son. That's it. There's that's all it. Your background that you need. Now we're flashing forward. He's being nominated for the Nobel Prize, but he spits it back in the King of Sweden's face Not that we see that. He just says that.
Exactly. More exposition.
Yeah. Anyway, then finally he splices himself. I didn't mind that first scene where he turns into a vampire and he takes out the mercenaries, but it was by that stage, I'm like, well, you can see what's going to happen here. He's on a ship in uncharted waters. Of course, the mercenary is going to get too heavy-handed with the doctor. He's going to see this be rage-filled and kill them all, which brings the cops to the door because once they find the dead ship and whatever else, blah, 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 she survives fine.
It's shit.
Oh, God. And then there's basically two fight scenes for the entire rest of the film.
Yeah.
And one chase scene.
It really wasn't action-packed, was it? And even when it was, I didn't care for it because of the debris-looking CGI. Yeah, because
of how terrible the CGI. There was one nice shot where it was a one-shot where it followed them in their first battle into the subway.
Yeah.
That was kind of fine.
And then the flag.
And then we get the random stopping for CG moments.
Yeah.
Sorry,
slow-mo. Which I wouldn't mind if it looked good.
But normally there's a point to a slow-mo. Like, you can see him dodging something.
Yeah.
But this one, we're just pausing it in the middle of him moving backwards. Why? What's so cool about that?
You're right.
The only thing I can think of is to help you orientate yourself because it's so fucking confusing up until then.
But even then, it's like poorly planned CG. So we're just going to stop here. Why are we going to do that again? Because then, you're right. It's to orient, show you what's going on. And Leto is playing Morbius really straight. He's charmless. He's actually playing one note. And there's no actual, like with this idea here that, and this is probably a character, this is the problem in the writing, okay?
There's a lot of them.
Oh, there is. Matt Smith is just a bad guy. And he's a bad guy immediately. And they could have had this thing. It doesn't make sense. He's like, Morbius, look, this thing is actually a gift. Let's rule the world together. But then he still tries to kill Morbius in that whole scene. And you're like, so do you want him or not? So immediately he just wants to kill him. There could have been a conflicted kind of like, you're my best friend and you did this for us. And why can't we both live on it together? You made it happen.
Yep.
Come with me. Nah, I just want to kill you. That's it. Immediately. And no fucking transition. He's like, fuck it. Let's kill this guy. And let's kill his girlfriend.
On the plus side, I mean, it's a shorter film than it would have been. But nevertheless, you're absolutely right. It's just zero to nothing. But yet, we spend so long getting to this point. The film just spins its wheels and then jump, jump, jump. Jared Harris, he's running this clinic and he's still treating Milo and Morbius 25 years later?
Yeah.
That makes no sense
to me.
And
they're in the same town.
They're not really the same. Have they picked up and moved from Greece? I guess they are in the same town because he does go over to his place. Is Milo living with Jared Harris?
That looks like the same house. It probably was Jared Harris. It was supposed to be Greece. That makes no sense at all. No, that can't be right.
No.
It must be in like...
Must have moved.
But yeah, they must have moved.
Where's Milo's money come from? How is he bankrolling all these experiments? Never explained.
That's right. Needs to be explained.
None of this is explained.
Even one line would have been like, wow, it's a good thing you bought stamps.com 20 years ago. I don't know. Right? It's just
like I criticized the cop subplot before. They're trying to be funny. You've obviously found Al Madrigal slightly amusing.
No, very slightly. And this is purely because I'm fond of the actor. That's it.
There's just nothing. They're not in the climactic scene. They never work anything out. There's a moment in this film where the local news station gets the CCTV footage that the cops have
somehow.
And put that all over the news showing clearly it's not Morbius, but it's Milo who's killing people randomly and indiscriminately.
But they're still after Morbius.
But they're still chasing Morbius.
Yeah, that's right.
But how did the news station get this fucking footage?
It could be that the cop thing leaked it to the news station. That happens, right?
Well, no, not like that.
Yeah, maybe.
No. That's the kind of thing that would result in lots of people. I draw your attention to the Dean lately. I'm not sure what she's choosing to go by now. Situation in the police force a couple of years ago where...
What?
Dean Lally, ex-AFL coach.
Yeah.
Is transitioning or has transitioned to being a female.
Uh-huh.
And was arrested stalking an ex-partner.
What?
In full, dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
And so, because this was an ex-AFL footballer, an ex-AFL football coach.
Yeah.
Someone in the police leaked it to the media and there was footage all over the internet.
Oh, right. Then what happened?
They basically hunted down and fired everybody who had anything to do with it.
Really?
Yeah. Because you can't have that happening.
Yeah.
So again, it's just another stupid shortcut in the
film. Absolutely, yeah. This is the film. It explains nothing and chooses not to. But I'll tell you something that the real problem is in this film, right? Leto, right? So if you want to play Morbius straight, here's the thing. The role of the sympathetic vampire demands some operatic nature. You're going to play a simple story lead. You need to be charming. You need to be engaging to watch. You need to be like, you know, fucking, what, oh, let me...
Yeah. So you don't just whisper in a monotone.
That's right.
And expect the beautiful woman you work with just to throw herself at you.
Yes, exactly. Which I know is how it works in real life, Paul. But like, yeah, exactly. And so this is, you got nothing to cling to as an audience member because the guy isn't even charming. He's just there. So this is some bullshit, man.
Matt Smith chews so much scenery, but at least he seems like he's trying to have some fun with this. Like, he is the only person in this film who looks like, I'm just going to go for it. Why the hell not?
Matt Smith's giant head freaks me out.
He does. He does. I will say one positive about the film.
Yeah.
The vampiric effects, because it's all CG, when they're sort of changing their face from human to vampire and back again, doesn't look bad.
No. It's,
that holds okay.
This is the thing. Like, I was actually trying to think to myself, is this a better or worse movie than Venom 2?
I think it's slightly better because I wasn't offended from the get-go.
Yeah.
Whereas this one took a while to offend me.
That's right. See, but at least here's the thing: is in Venom, Tom Hardy is at least a little engaging to watch.
The first, yeah, Tom Hardy is so much better than Jared Leto.
Yeah, so you can't do this fucking lead shit without being charming. So that's why I'm like, this is the real problem. If Jared Leto was charming all over the place, if it was Robert Downey Jr. playing this or something, right? It'd be a way better film, man. So
it still would suck, but yes, I do agree. Right, let's get to the end credit sequences.
Okay, done. Here we go.
Two end credit sequences, both early on in the end credits. So if you get to the point where, like, oh, is there anything more of this? There's not.
Yes. It's just, two very quite close to each other. So when the real credits start rolling, you can just leave. There's nothing after that.
The first of them is showing the rift from Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep.
So now I have some spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home. If you've yet to see that and you are dead keen to see it, please be aware.
You know by now, though.
You should. Surely you know by now. This is where the spell's bringing everyone into Tom Holland's Spider-Man's universe.
That's right.
Anyone who knows the existence or the identity of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which includes Adrian Toomes.
Yes.
The Vulture.
Right.
From the first Spider-Man.
Exactly. Except he's in Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Yeah. It gets pushed into the universe where Morbius now exists, which is not Tom Holland's universe.
Exactly. Which is against the rules of No Way Home.
Exactly.
In that movie, only villains came to Tom Holland's universe.
And then bounced back to theirs.
Yes, they passed back. People who were in Tom Holland's universe didn't get pushed to alternate fucking
universes. So they just decided to do this, like, oh, they'll now make that canon. But that's so fucking weird.
That is already a piece of shit, all right? But the biggest piece of shit, Paul, is that they've got Michael Keaton. This role is huge, okay? He was the guy that made Spider-Man, like, the first one, the shit, basically, well, right?
One of the factors,
One of the factors, but, like, the fact is I bought his stuff, right? He's now, they're attaching him to Morbius, which will no doubt crash and burn, right?
Well, they're attaching him to Morbius so they can create the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's Morbius and Adrian Toomes, and we're going to have Venom, I assume. I don't know who else is in there. Oh, I've never read that.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're aiming to do. But they're just doing this ham-fisted kind of way. Yeah. There's no organic nature to this. It's just like, oh, fuck it. We'll just make him come over. He could have just come from when he got pushed back into, what?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense.
And then he gets released from prison because in this universe, he's done nothing wrong.
So can we assume then that Sony's long-term plan is to have a Sinister Six movie, we have to do whoever the next three members of Sinister Six are.
Yeah.
They're going to do a movie on them and then.
Yeah, Kraven the Hunter, I think, is one, and there's a couple others.
Okay. Then they're going to have an Avengers-style thing, but it's anti-heroes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to work if these movies suck. Venom is a piece of shit. This can eat my balls.
Yep. Agreed.
And if I was Michael Keaton, this is the biggest thing. I was sitting there going, fuck, I wanted Michael Keaton back in the Marvel Universe. They know what to do with him. These people, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was so excited to see Michael Keaton, then I was like, oh, it's this movie.
And then there was just, they meet in the desert. I've got a proposition for you. And he smiles kind of half evil. I'm like, well, hang on. We've just spent the entire film with him fighting against becoming a bad guy. Why would he have a problem with Spider-Man? Who doesn't exist in his universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Morbius
is supposed to be a good guy, isn't he?
Well, in this film, they're making him out to be a good guy because he's fighting against Matt Smith. He's saying, let's take over the world together. But in the comics, he's a straight bad guy.
Well, maybe there'll be some. Oh, you know what?
This is the problem. This is their insistence on creating these bad guys who are actually anti-heroes.
Yeah.
It doesn't work when you then put them against the good guys.
You'll then have to make Adrian Toomes a sort of good guy then. Yeah. Which he could do because he was just trying to protect his family. Then he became
We might as well be fucking suicide squatting it almost.
Yes. No, that's exactly what they're trying to do, Paul.
Oh, my God.
So you see, and you know what I'd say is a big thing as well that I didn't mention. The blue blood, right? The artificial blood is blue. Mm. And the way that everyone consumes the blood is that he just drinks it. He just drinks it. I'm like, wouldn't you stick your head at your tongue and you pierce it or whatever? I don't know. Wouldn't you bite on it at least? This is so PG, this show. They've actually gone with the decision to, let's not make him actually consume blood except in one scene or something. But for most of the scenes, it's going to be this milky, harmless looking stuff that he's drinking. Mm-hmm. It could be anything.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
There's no blood. This is the most bloodless fucking vampire story.
Yeah, there's one person he slashes. And there's blood on his
Yeah, but
his shirt.
Even when he slashes, right, you don't see him actually, like, scratch his shirt. He goes, whoosh, like this, and you go, oh, and then the guy's, but you don't see actually blood spray.
No, you never see spray.
Yep, that's it. And I'm like, so I guess he got slashed, but who knows?
Jared Harris gets killed just because.
Yeah.
Because his character was doing fuck all anyway, exactly. So why not? And then they kill Martine.
That was supposed to be the impetus for him to go run after him.
They kills Martine, and we get a three, not even 2 second, quick snapshot of her opening her eyes again.
Yeah, because she drank his blood or tasted his blood or whatever. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen as soon as that happened because there's no reason for her to bite his lip when he kisses her. I'm like, let's do that. Fuck. So it's just weird shit.
This is shit. This film is shit. What a terrible, terrible film. Everyone involved with it really needs to go back to the drawing board and try and emulate Marvel better. This film was in association with Marvel, as I said at the top of the review. And immediately I was worried that we didn't get the big splash graphic of Marvel. Like, oh shit, they didn't have a big hand in this. Not like the Spider-Man films.
Exactly, easily. Mm. And can I ask you this? So I thought Venom was like, and then Venom 2 sucked.
Yep.
Both those movies made bank.
Yep.
Is this going to be one of those phenomenons where it's like, this very is shit, but for some reason everyone watched
very,
it?
Very, very interesting to see whether this follows the same format or whether people just go, this isn't Tom Hardy, fuck that.
Well, if it is, exactly. And if it is, right, if it does actually do well somehow, right?
Then you can strap yourselves in because we'll have one of these every fucking year for the next 5 years until we get the Sinister Six movie.
It's so weird. Like, it's so weird that you know it's a piece of shit, but it's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, what are you going to do?
All right, that's our review of Morbius, Wayne. What are you scoring it?
Oh, good question. CGI, everything pretty much. Okay. 20?
Oh!
Then we go with 20.
Like I went as high as 28.
28, okay, fair enough.
Damn! Yep, Wayne hated this one. You can expect,
it's just a waste of your time.
You can expect to hear about this one at the end of the year for sure, and yeah, not on the best of the year list, let's just say. You have been warned. Obviously, if you've listened this far, you have seen the film. What did you think? Did you like it more than we did? Did you find some merit in it? Or did you hate it just as much and just want to vent your spleen about that? Please do. You can get in touch with us via thecountdownpodcast.com. Like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook list community. That's where all the action is and we interact with the fans of the show. Link is in the show notes.
My man.
And that's it for us today. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
How would you like to suck my balls?
Morbius. We'll catch you next time. See ya.